how do driven entrepreneurs like you and me, who want to play the game of life at our full potential, actually do that so that we net seven figures a year and experience the overall exceptional life? It's all about leveraging our most valuable asset, our brain. But how do we train our brain to actually rewire our autopilot so that all of the right actions and focus happens automatically without thinking, as we create the exceptional life in business, health, and our significant other relationships? These are the questions, and this is the podcast that answers them. This is where your net seven figures a year freedom begins. Welcome, I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell.
And today we are going to have a conversation around this topic of how to handle pressure. You know, and part of this, the idea of this topic came from a conversation that we had. John is the mindset coach at the University of Texas in their athletics department. And we were having a conversation with the athletic director there, who we do it's called Learning from the Expert. So it's a program we do exclusively for the University of Texas. And this topic came up for the coaches. So we thought, oh, well, this will be a great one to kind of piggyback off of for this conversation, and really relate it to the life of a business owner and entrepreneur, and really anybody who's listening can benefit from some of these tactics. And so, John, you know, how do you deal with the pressures, you know, of not only being a business owner, and I know you're in a different place, you know, obviously, as far as business ownership, you've got lots of things going on, but not only that, but like the societal pressure, like the stress, the things that are happening in the world right now. You know, just how do you deal with the pressure of being a business owner and the stress of being a business owner?
You know, it is a great question. And I think that I try and shut out the noise, because there's always a lot of noise. And when you feel pressure over something, when I feel pressure over something, the first thing I do is I set aside time to just think, you know, something we teach. But this idea of just what is the situation and what do I need to know about it? What is my next step? And I often see that I may not see the next 10 steps. All I can see is the next step. And once I take the next step, the subsequent step will appear, and on and on and on. So I think, you know, just focusing on my own thoughts, shutting out the noise, and just focusing on the problem and what is the next step for me. What about you?
You know, that's one of the first places I start. I actually learned that from you, which is, you know, so often when we are feeling overwhelmed, or we're feeling just the pressures, like, because there's, again, we have so many conflicting and competing priorities, right? And then you've got all of the things that are going on externally as well. And so there's a lot of emotion wrapped around all of that. Well, once you start using that exercise, you know, where you're thinking deeply, you know, mm-hmm. about a challenge, about a problem, about how you're feeling, about what's on your mind. And you, once you get it out of your head and onto paper, it starts to take the emotion out of it. You know, it's like, like, so once you actually, because we've got these recording happening in our mind, right? And, you know, what you focus on expands, you know, but once you get it outside of your head and onto paper, factually, oh, this is actually what's happening, you know, then it's like, oh, okay, well, I can start to think my way out of this challenge and begin to come up with solutions and into an action-taking mode, which immediately then gets me into a different frame of mind and out of that pattern, that emotional pattern of being overwhelmed or being, you know. So that's, I love that you said that first, because that's the first place that it starts for me. And I think one of the other places, and we haven't talked about this very much, but it's the things that words have power. So if you are constantly verbalizing, like, I'm so stressed, I'm so overwhelmed, like, that just continues to perpetuate that emotion and that feeling of overwhelm and of pressure, you know, so being very conscious of how we speak to ourselves and, and then how we verbalize that is so important. And it doesn't mean that you're not stressed. You know, I think that you can flip the script on what stressed means. You know, so I'm really grateful for all of these awesome opportunities right now. Really though, it's the way you frame it, you know. Does that make sense?
But you know, here's the other thing. All you can do is your best. I mean, you know, when we're talking about pressure, I often think about, you know, things that that come up and have come up in the past. And, you know, at the end of the day, all you can do is your best. And I think one of the things that drives pressure is worrying about things that are highly unlikely to occur. You know, I mean, that's that sort of innate programming to be fear-based and reactive. And the reality is that in the vast majority of cases, whatever you, whatever the thing that's really creating that pressure is, that is the feeling that something's going to happen that's not going to be good, when the reality is that's probably not going to happen. So why entertain it? Why let it seep into your consciousness? Just head down, figure out the problem. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's the next thing I'm going to do. And do the best you can and let go of it. It's not going to be the end of the world. I mean, that's my take on it.
You know, again, we've talked about this a lot personally, you know, and I have this built into my method because I am somebody who is a worrier, you know, and worry lives in the future. It's about what could possibly happen. Well, you know, that isn't happening right now. You know, and what I can control is I can control my thoughts and I can control my actions and what I'm doing right now here in this moment to, you know, and so being able, but that's an art. As we talk about this, that's so much easier said than done, especially when that's your wiring and the, and if it's a pattern and kind of, you know, I mean, that's part of the kind of the fabric of how I grew up. So it's been ingrained in me. So it's something I've really, it's still in my visualization because it's still something that creeps up on me, you know? So I think to your point, I think getting back in the moment, you know, and I think the other thing too, and this is tied to that, is spending 80 to 90% of the time on the solution versus on the problem. You know, think the problem through, but don't give it the energy and keep, you know, beating this problem or this challenge to death. Here's the fact. This is what the challenge is. Here's the, you know, here are the facts around that challenge. Now, what are the solutions to this particular challenge? And then get into action mode. And that's where the thinking time comes into play and everything too, is to help with that process. But when you're ruminating on the problem itself, and not on the solutions to the problems, that's where you can get into trouble and just, you know, it'd be a bad kind of stress and overwhelm.
You know, I know this is totally chauvinistic, but we were having this conversation last night. We're over. What's he going to say?
A disclaimer.
Can we bring the lawyers in here before he says it?
Exactly. Well, you recognize that it probably is. So that's the first step.
Well, you know, my attitude is I don't care. You know, sue me, don't sue me, but I'm going to tell you what I think.
I love it.
So we went over and had dinner with Hannah and Charlie and our grandkids, and the in-laws were also there, Charlie's parents. And we were talking about, we're actually talking about our relationships, our, you know, their marriage, each of our marriages, but we're talking about that women tend to be way more concerned about all the details and men not so much. And you know, I personally think that's the beauty of the yin and the yang between an intimate couple, is that, you know, you sort of need both of them. But by the nature of that, women probably have more of a tendency to worry and then I guess feel pressure. And I hate that Ginger sometimes worries about stuff that I'm like, Ginge, that there's not a chance in hell that this is going to happen. So why worry about it? What do you think about that? Are women more prone to feel pressure and worry than men, in your opinion?
I don't know. I mean, there could absolutely be some truth to that, which is typically kind of being more in that caretaker role and mm-hmm. that maternal, we're making sure everybody's mm-hmm. okay. And all of the different pieces of the puzzle are falling into place as they should. And so I could see where, you know, definitely just through kind of gender roles and things along those lines, that absolutely could contribute to that. And I could see that, because I would say Jared, you know, he's not really a worrier, you know,
yeah.
He always says, you're doing enough for the two of us. There's no need for me to do it. he's like, you've got it covered. I'm good.
Man, I'm going to seal that one. That sounds good.
But no, I think just, sharing a few of these tactics, and these are things we know, right? You know, these are all logical tips and things that we're sharing right now. It's actually doing them. You know, we go back, we kind of tie this back to the methodology in most of our conversations, because that's how I'm able to do it. It's one thing to talk about it and have the intention to sit down and do thinking time and to think through a challenge, or, you know, it's another thing to actually do that. And train yourself to do that through that reprogramming. And so I think, you know, you might be listening and thinking, well, yeah, that's easier said than done. Well, I used to think that too. You know what I mean? But you have to reprogram that part of your brain to do some of these things that we're talking about. I don't know if you noticed when I switched when I was talking about the words that we use.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that is mine when I'm starting to be too future focused or worry or feel stressed, I immediately trigger to something I'm grateful for. So instead, I said, I'm grateful for all of these opportunities mm-hmm. that I have. I am so lucky that I have all of these different opportunities, and that might be what's creating the stress. But as soon as you flip that script and you change that language, well, that's hard to do unless you're programming your subconscious to do that.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And you know, something else I have noticed lately is that people seem to fall into one of two categories. They're either oriented to the possibilities, or they're oriented to the negatives or the reasons it won't work. And you know, I know that I am totally oriented to the possibilities, and I don't like it when I'm growing this flower and it's just starting to blossom and somebody steps on the damn flower before it's even got a chance to, you know, I want to understand the negatives and the what could go wrong, but come on, let's let the flower of the idea blossom for a second before we go right to what can go wrong. I don't know. What's your take on that?
Here's where it comes back, I think, maybe to a difference between how the minds work. So when I'm thinking through something,
right,
I do think about, okay, so if this doesn't work, or if this, like, what's the worst case scenario?
Right.
You know what I mean? Or what are the things that could derail this from moving forward? Or I do think about those things because it prepares me for, and it actually relieves stress for me in advance to be like, okay, so here's what I, like, this could be one thing that could derail this idea or this thought. What's the solution for that? Oh, I need to get my team more on board mm-hmm. and this needs to kind of be their idea. So I need to influence them a little bit so that I don't mm-hmm. get that pushback from the team.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll think through it in that regard so that I am thinking about it from all different angles. And that in turn relieves stress for me because I'm coming up with those different scenarios that could happen. So again, it's just how I think the mind works. But I will say, and this is a little off topic, when I'm excited about an idea, you know, and somebody right away starts to come up with all of the reasons why, well, that won't work, you know, for me, that's like the fuel. First of all, you know, in my mind, I'm like,
Yeah, right.
You can't see my face right now, but in my mind, you know, I'm like, oh yeah. And it's not a stubborn, like, I'm not going to do it just because they said I can't, you know, or right. just because they said it's not a good idea. I'll vet the idea out. But I am somebody who, you know, and it's funny, Chris just said this. He said he has that contrarian point of view with the coaches. So they'll come in with an idea and he'll start saying the things that, you know, the contrary idea, just to see how convicted they are in their idea or their thought. And so,
yeah, that's pretty interesting.
That was really interesting. And so I'm going to start reframing sometimes when I get that pushback as a test of my conviction about the idea, rather than viewing that as something negative coming from somebody externally, that it's a gift to me to make me think through this a little bit further to see how convicted I am in my idea, in whatever it is that we're talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I remember Darren Hardy talking about how people are going to throw water on your ideas. And if you're an achiever, the people around you will not be nearly as supportive as you think they should be. Mm-hmm. And you know, it really helped me because, you know, my best friend, Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby is always looking for the negatives. He's that's just how he's oriented. I love him. But, and just what you said is how I play him. I'm like, great. I love that you don't think that idea is going to work, because I am going to crush it. And you're being negative about it is so good to be able to throw this back in your face when I'm successful. So
I love it.
Of course, we've known each other for 40 years. So, you know, we're always looking to throw something in each other's face. But
I love that relationship the two of you have. It's so funny. So no, well, and that's a really good point. You know, before we wrap things up, that's one more thing. Having a support system, having that, you know, that person that, you know, as far as overcoming stress and pressure, having the right network of people around you that are peers. Yeah. We talked about this with Chris too, you know, that are peers that understand your plight, other business owners that get it, because other people don't. It's a different, being a business owner is a different beast. You know, you feel like you're alone and out on an island a lot of the time, but you're not. You know, so making sure that you surround yourself with the right support system and network of people to help through those times. Just having a sounding board that knows what you're going through, has been where you're at, or is such a relief, you know, as far as handling press and pressure and stress. I've got you. I've got other great people and mentors in my life that I have the privilege of getting to do that with.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the secrets too, to handling stress and pressure and being successful is having those people surrounding you.
Right. Well, so the takeaway, I think, from this, again, it gets back to the topic of how do you handle pressure. And I think the first thing is you realize that whatever the feeling, the pressure is, you're anticipating negative things happening in the future that oftentimes are very unlikely to happen. That's one thing. I think you made a great point about, you know, when you feel something negative or pressure to trigger to something you're grateful for. Great point. And I maybe the third takeaway is just take the next step, whatever that is. And don't worry if you don't see, you know, the full solution to the problem. So anything else you'd like to add to that?
Nope. I think just, again, focus on solutions, not on the problem. And you will see that your stress will begin to dissipate and the pressure will begin to feel a little less oppressive, you know, and you'll be able to move your way out of it. So,
yeah. Okay. This is good. Well, we'll see you next time then.
Thanks for listening today. If you've had your own aha moment from today's episode, send me or John an email. We'd love to share your epiphany with our audience. So email us at kelly@thinkitbeit.com or john@thinkitbeit.com. In the meantime, live the exceptional life.